of this hadith to the verses of the Holy Quran and realize what are those verses that this hadith is interpreting. And the hadith basically talks about different virtues that are the signs of a person with perfect intellect. The Prophet says that a believer will not have a perfect intellect until he has such or she has such features and such virtues. So we talked about some of these virtues, and some of them being about learning, some of them being about being humble, some of them being about like being immune or not harming others. So the virtue that we're going to cover this episode is about being content. نَصِيبُهُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا الْقُوتُ. The portion or the share of this person from dunya is qut. Qut means sustenance. A level of money or any goods, any materials, tools of living that a person has that is enough for him to have a decent life. There's a saying that if that level of thing is enough for you, then this is enough. And if it's not enough, then nothing will be enough. About the greed. A person with perfect intellect has actually trained him or herself so that he or she does not have greed. This is very important. This is a sign of a person with perfect intellect not having greed and being content with a decent life. We are not saying, or not the hadith, not the verses of the Holy Quran, that a person actually starts showing as a poor person or for advocating for living as a poor. No, we don't have that. Decency in life, and as much as a person can preserve his respect and can provide for his family and welfare to an acceptable level, is necessary. But you see some people, enough is never enough for them, always looking for more, always trying to get more. And they already have what is enough for the decent life. So such people, they don't have perfect intellect. And the last one, والعشرة, the last one, is what? Is the feeling that he doesn't see anyone, but he says he's better than me. والعشرة, لا يرى أحدا إلا قال هو خير مني. Such a feeling, such a sense, such a calculation that he has, that anyone is better than me. What does it mean? Some people would think that this is a mental problem, that, well, I say everyone is better than me in a spirituality. We're talking about the spirituality, not materialistic gains. In fact, we have this problem mostly in, like, for example, a person thinks that everybody's life is better than him in terms of the financial welfare. And no. In terms of a spirituality, a person with perfect intellect should have this attitude. What does it mean? We're going to have a break, and after the break, we have the discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we arrived at the last virtue in the prophetic hadith about perfect intellect, and we said the virtue and the feature and the sign of a person with perfect intellect is to have an attitude in terms of spiritual matters that he says others always are better than me. So what does it mean? The hadith explains it a little bit. لا يرى أحدا إلا قال هو خير مني وأتقى. He doesn't see anyone but he says he's better than me and he's more pious than me. إنما الناس رجلان. People are two groups. فرجل هو خير منه أتقى. It's possible that in reality such a person is better than him and like apparently he's better than him, he's more pious. And so about such a person, you can say that he's better than me. And then we said people are two groups. The first group was the people who were really bitter. And there's the second group of people who don't look that good. Spiritually, in terms of the practices that they have, they don't look that good. وَآخَرَهُ وَشَرٌ مِنْهُ أَدْنَى. In reality, they're more evil. They're inferior in terms of the spirituality. فَإِذَا رَأَى مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. Such a person, when he sees people from the first group, تَوَضَعَ, he shows humbleness. He shows humility. لِيَلْحَقَ بِهِ. Because in any career, in any business, when you see a person who is better, then you try to get close to them, you try to be like them more, and this happens when you humble yourself. You can't just, for example, in a sport, for example, a person knows soccer better than you. You want to learn from him. Then you have to show humility, you have to humble yourself. It doesn't happen like, unless you have it from somewhere else, but if you, it's the only way, you have to be humble. So تَوَاضَعَ لَهُ لِيَلْحَقَ بِهِ. وَإِذَا لَقَ الَّذِي هُوَ شَرٌ مِنْ. And if he meets a person who apparently is worse than him, spiritually, قَالَ عَسَى خَيْرُ هَذَا بَاطِن. He says there is a probability that the good in this person is hidden, and the evil is manifest, and I should not judge based on the manifestation, based on the appearance. وَشَرُّهُ ظَاهِرُ وَعَسَىٰ أَنْ يُخْتَمُ لَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. It's possible that he will have a good ending. حُسْنُ الْعَاقِبَةِ. I don't know about how we end our lives. Many people, evil people, apparently they ended their lives in a very good way. So they repented and they could make up for all the mistakes they had, and then they died and they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a purified heart. So this is about the judgment that we have in our heart. It doesn't talk about the duties that we have. Sometimes, yes, you have evil actions which you have to raise awareness, which you have to raise to stand against them. That is another discussion. Some people, they confuse these two occasions, situations. So the spiritual assessment that you have should be this. But the religious or jurisprudential duties that we have are different. And in those actions, we don't have judgments in the sense of a spiritual judgment. No, we say this is a bad act, it should stop. It doesn't mean we have judgment about people. About the person, you always should have the best possible judgment. But about the action, no, we have to try to stop that action. That is something that we should take care. But all in all, this attitude should be there in a person with perfect intellect. Always be humble at the depth of one's heart. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabiyil azim. اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشافت غازا
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
A two-day international forum dubbed What Future for Palestine kicked off in Rome on Saturday The initiative, organized by an opposition group called Front of Dissent, has been put together to tackle different topics, namely Zionism, its impact on Palestine and West Asia, the nature of Israel, what changes for the Palestinian resistance after October 7, West Asia in its transition to a multipolar world, and the risk of the Ukraine war escalating into a global conflict. The conference was attended by citizens who are very concerned about the turn the situation has taken in Western countries.
Today's forum is an important attempt to break down the wall of silence surrounding Zionist wrongdoings in West Asia. It is appalling how our mainstream media are covering Israel's brutal war in Gaza. They have created a parallel world and a parallel truth with the aim of covering up the bad things Israel is doing.
The superpowers that support Zionism are former colonial powers, most of them. And they had a role in creating Zionism in the first place. Many people allowed the Zionists to really empower themselves. So they were originally empowered by people who probably had a sense of guilt about the Holocaust, but eventually they became so powerful that they are able to control so many media outlets, they are able to control many politicians.
Speakers at the conference included former diplomats, politicians, journalists and activists from several countries, including China, the US, Britain, Russia and many others. Video links were also established with the spokesman for the worldwide anti-Zionist religious group, Neturei Karta International. Analysts at the conference are saying that the aftershocks of the Gaza crisis triggered by Israeli genocidal war are highly likely to reach far beyond West Asia and the Africa region. With the US credibility as a regional security guarantor shot to pieces, West Asia might see increased diplomatic engagement from China and Russia.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan received the head of the Hamas political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, in Istanbul. During the meeting that lasted for more than 2.5 hours, the two sides discussed the Israeli aggression on Gaza, ways and measures to ensure uninterrupted and sufficient delivery of humanitarian aid to Gaza, and the lasting peace in the West Asia region. During the meeting, President Erdogan stated that amid ongoing tensions in the region, it is important to keep the world's attention on Gaza and not allow the Israeli regime to achieve political gains from its standoff with Iran. In a statement published by the Turkish presidency, Erdogan said, "It is vital that Palestinians act with unity in this process. The strongest response to Israel and the path to victory lie in unity and integrity."
Today's meeting was very important for both Turkey and Hamas to set ground for the upcoming changes. We all know now Qatar is hosting Hamas Bureau and leaders as well as playing the role of mediator in negotiations with Israel. While there is a pressure from Washington for Hamas to leave Qatar, and there is the question of where will Hamas go now, we know that the relation of Hamas and Syria is getting better, and it already has a good relation with Iran. But I don't think they are a choice, and for that, Turkey will be the best option.
Analysts say Turkey will not only be hosting Hamas movement leaders and bureau, but will also take the lead in mediating to reach a lasting solution for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
Turkey is trying to play a very important role that is bigger than working on reaching a ceasefire in Gaza. It is rather solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and trying to reach a lasting solution. The 7th of October was a turning point to start working on reaching a lasting solution, and I think Turkey's role is a key for it to maintain good relations with all sides.
Hamas had an office in Turkey since 2011, and Turkey mediated in exchange of prisoners. Turkish president maintains warm relations with Haniyeh and says he will always defend the Palestinian cause. Today's meeting takes place against the backdrop of Qatar potentially stepping back from ceasefire talks. This development could create a vacancy that Ankara is well positioned to fill, given Turkey's established relations, particularly with the Hamas movement, which many view as a strategic advantage. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, more than 70% of the fatalities of the brutal Israeli aggression against the Gaza Strip are children and women. Likewise, according to reports issued by the Euro-Mediterranean Center for Human Rights, women and children in Gaza are enduring displacement, death, pain, and suffering in a way that the human mind cannot bear. More than 80% are living in tents without the minimum basic needs to live, without water, without food, with a chilling cold. The current situation is pushing them to the limit, making it impossible to focus on anything but survival.
Today, innocent civilians are placed in inhumane conditions which do not possess the most basic requirements for human survival. When it comes to children and women, the suffering becomes more painful because women's needs are greater. Women today live in tents. There is no bathroom. There is no toilet. They cannot take care of themselves. They have to stand in long lines in front of men's bathrooms, and this means double suffering. Also, do not forget pregnant women or those who gave birth during the attack. We're talking about an aggression that affects all vital aspects.
Pregnant women and those who have given birth in the midst of war are one of the most affected groups. Similarly, the United Nations Population Fund estimated that since the beginning of the Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip, approximately 60,000 women are pregnant, and of them, 5,500 would give birth soon, many of them by cesarean section. This means that terrible hospital sanitary conditions, as well as the food crisis, will endanger their lives and the lives of newborn babies.
Pregnant women are suffering from extreme cold, food shortages and medicine shortages. We have noticed an increase in the rate of spontaneous abortions, an increase in the rate of premature births, and an increase in cases of small fetuses. Pregnant women leave the hospital about 10 hours after giving birth and go to the tents where they have no means of living. Newborn babies are exposed to many diseases. We have observed that a large percentage of these women return to the hospital with their children who have caught a cold, and some have also died.
The lack of hygiene and high levels of malnutrition experienced in overcrowded refugee camps are a poisonous mixture. According to the World Food Program, there is a high risk of famine, and cases of dehydration and malnutrition are increasing rapidly. Many mothers say they only eat once a day to survive. However, there are children who have stopped talking or eating because of what they have seen and experienced. Others cry and scream with every loud sound they hear. Months of war have traumatized an entire generation of children.
You see the atmosphere. Making bread is suffering. To go to the bathroom, you have to wait in line. To get water and foods, you also have to wait in line. That is, our entire life is suffering. In the tent where I live, there are approximately 8 people and my daughter, her husband, and her daughter as well. That is 13 people in just 9 square meters. We have to make the bread here, you see, and if we don't find cardboard to light the fire, we can't bake the bread. We only have 1 bottle of water a day and food. If they give us help, we eat. And if they don't give us food, no, because the price of goods is multiplied by 10.
The suffering we experience as children is that we have been forced out of our homes. Our houses were bombed when we were inside it. My friend, who was my cousin, has died. All my friends have died, and I have no one left. Our childhood has been stolen from us. I want to go back to my house. I want the war to end and return home so I can rest.
Gazans continue to call for Israel to fulfill its obligations under international humanitarian law, which begins with the protection of civilian lives. They assure that all they want is the end of this nightmare full of death and pain. Palestinian women have always been the symbol of the strong law of resistance. However, displacement, hunger, and lack of health care due to the Zionist war are disproportionately affecting women. They claim that even their dignity has been lost. And for that reason, they will never forget and they will take revenge for these violations and the misery they are in just because of the Zionist regime. Huda Hejazi, Gaza, Palestine.
Chanting anti-Israel slogans and carrying placards with messages thanking the IRGC for conducting Operation True Promise. Thousands of Iranians marched down the streets in major cities across the country after the Friday prayers to voice their support for the armed forces and a recent punitive military operation carried out against Israel, dubbed Operation True Promise. The retaliatory attack was in response to Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria on April the 1st, resulting in the martyrdom of top IRGC commander, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, and six other military officers. The punitive retaliatory attack involved a slew of drones and missiles targeting and causing damage to Israeli military bases.
There was a time when they could attack us and get away with it. But now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasim. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out in the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Yusumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Instead of beating the drums of war, it is the delicate taps of instruments such as the dulcimer or the santur in Persian and the harmonious melodies of different tongues that should be wafting across borders. As Iran celebrates its National Culture Week in South Africa, officials and the public have visited exhibitions in the key cities of Johannesburg, Pretoria and Cape Town to learn more about the Persian heritage. The event was held at the Castle of Good Hope in Cape Town, which was a Dutch colonial fort and is now a museum.
Cult is a very powerful construct because it forces people to communicate, not only through language, because I can't speak the Iranian language, they can't speak Afrikaans, which is my mother tongue, but through our handiwork, through our art, through our crafts that we do, we can connect as human beings and exchange ideas, because culture is not devoid of power and of politics.
And this view is shared by South African officials and even within the Organization of Developing Economies, BRICS Plus, which Iran joined at the beginning of 2024.
But I'm looking forward to us coming out with a university of some sort. And that university is going to be a technology-driven university that has got culture imbued in it. Because we cannot just be driven by, you know, gadgets and technologies. We have to put our humanity within this technology. If we can do that, I believe that we can go very far as a people.
South Africa and Iran have extensive relations, and so through expanding this exchange of unique arts and crafts, they can effectively use the skills of their respective peoples to develop economic ties and, within the framework of BRICS Plus, shape a new world which breaks away from the current system. Culture is important now more than ever, as it fosters understanding and can develop closer relationships between different peoples. In a world overwhelmed with conflict, exhibitions such as these are important for peace. Hassan Siria, Cape Town.
It took the Turkish president more than 3 days to come up with a statement on Iran's retaliatory attack on Israel. Erdogan blamed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for trying to spread conflicts and create tensions in the region through provocations. He added that those who did not voice their rejection of Israel's aggression on Gaza for several months are today condemning Iran's response. İsrail'in
uluslararası hukuku. The main one responsible for the tension that gripped our hearts on the evening of April 13 is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his bloody administration. Israel is trying to provoke a regional conflict, and its attack on Iran's embassy in Damascus was the last drop.
Turkish government was criticized by the opposition for its silent position from regional tension. Deputy chair of Republican People's Party Erhan Özgel said he was astonished not to see a single reaction or statement by Erdogan's cabinet or his ministers after the attack.
Amid such an important development in our region and a military assault launched directly by another state targeting Israel for the first time since the October War in 1973, amid such an escalation and such great tension in the region, we're astonished to observe that not a single official, especially the Minister of Foreign Affairs, has made any comment on this issue.
Meanwhile, an opposition parliament member slammed the AK ruling party's double standard, saying they pray for the children of Gaza on one hand while selling the fuel that is used to bomb those children on the other.
Can you imagine this hypocrisy? On the one hand, they're praying for the children of Gaza, and on the other hand, selling fuel to Israeli jets. You say Al-Quds is your red line. You're sending terrorism to Quds. You have Gaza children in one hand and the green dollars on the other hand. Shame on you.
Turkey holds significant importance in the region, and every development has an impact on Turkey politically and economically. Therefore, as experts say, the only way Turkey's silence can be explained is by linking it to the economy. And it is also the reason why Ankara did not immediately cut trade ties with Israel, and it merely severed diplomatic relations. Many believe a country like Turkey and a leadership like the Justice and Development Party were expected to not only defend Iran, but also stand by its Muslim neighbor against Israel.
Turkey had been silent about this issue, but as of yesterday, support came from President Erdogan, blaming Israel and supporting Iran. This was very important and provided a clear and good response. True, Turkey has economic relations with Israel, but if Turkey wants to develop and enhance its relations with Eastern countries, such as Iran, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and even Syria, it can reach a good place regionally. While Turkey has economic relations with Israel, its relationship with Iran goes much further. Therefore, Turkey should definitely stand by Iran in this matter.
Many believe it is time for Turkey to choose where to stand, rather than trying to verbally support the resistance and continue to press ahead with its Western and Israeli collaborations. Erdogan's comments on Iran's retaliatory attacks came late, just like the decision to cut a trade with Israel was late. It seems Ankara is walking a very thin line in its ties with Iran amid fears of harming economic relations with the Israeli regime. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
After days of anticipation, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles and drones against Israeli targets in the occupied territories. The legitimate response came after Israel attacked Iran's consulate in Damascus on April 1st, violating all international laws and conventions.
Iran's response comes within the international laws, specifically Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, which gives Iran the legitimate right to defend its national security. The Iranian attack on Israel has changed the geopolitical map in the region, and it was a strong warning to the evil regime.
The Iraqi people, as well as resistance leaders, hailed the Islamic Republic for the unprecedented response, dubbed Operation True Promise, which was within the inherent right of self-defense that entitles any country to protect its diplomatic institutions. Iran's retaliation came after the UN Security Council failed to condemn Israel's attack, which killed 7 members of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps.
The resistance and the people of Iraq surely stand by the Islamic Republic of Iran amid the failure of international community and the UN Security Council to condemn the Israeli attack on the Damascus consulate. Iran had all the rights to defend itself and respond with proper means and timing.
The significant operation clearly shows that Iran will not hesitate to take action against any threat to its citizens and institutions. Now, with its capabilities and military evolution, Iran has significantly changed the rules of battlefield in modern times.
Iran's retaliatory operation, which came after a long time of strategic patience in the face of Israeli's brutalities, shows that the Tel Aviv regime's days of hit and run are over. And Iran does not hesitate to exact a devastating revenge on its enemy, despite its all-out Western support. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight. The United States' veto of a draft resolution recommending that Palestine be granted full membership at the United Nations has been met with widespread global condemnation. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website Axios has written about this story and tells us more. The United States has predictably cast its veto against a bid by the Palestinian Authority for Palestine to be recognized as a full member of the United Nations. The United States, the Israeli regime's biggest ally, blocked a relevant draft resolution that had been put to vote at the 15-member United Nations Security Council on Thursday, 18th of April. Britain and Switzerland abstained from the vote, while the remaining 12 UN Security Council members voted yes. Vanessa Fraser, permanent representative of Malta, the Council's rotating president, said the draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the UN Security Council. Palestine is currently a non-member observer state. An application to become a full United Nations member needs to be approved by the UN Security Council, and then at least 2/3 of the UN General Assembly need to vote for it. Russia's United Nations Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia said the US once again demonstrated what they really think of the Palestinians. He said, for Washington, they do not deserve to have their own state. They're only a barrier on the path towards realizing the interests of Israel. Citing unclassified U.S. State Department cables, The Intercept, an online American news organization, reported on Wednesday, 17th of April, that Washington was secretly pushing members of the UN Security Council into rejecting Palestine's membership bid. One cable read, We urge you not to support any potential Security Council resolution recommending the admission of Palestine as a United Nations member state. Should such a resolution be presented to the UN Security Council for a decision in the coming days and weeks. The report said the countries being railroaded into rejecting the statehood included Malta, adding that Ecuador in particular was being asked to lobby Malta and other nations, including France, to oppose United Nations recognition. Zhang Jun, the representative of China at the United Nations, said during the Thursday vote that the decades-long dream of the Palestinian people had been quashed at a time when the admission of Palestine as a full member of the United Nations was more urgent than ever before. Iran's Press TV has also covered this story and tells us more. The spokesperson for Iran's foreign ministry has strongly condemned the irresponsible and unconstructive U.S. veto of a Palestinian request to the United Nations Security Council for full UN membership, blocking the world body's recognition of a Palestinian state. The Iranian foreign ministry spokesperson Nasser Kanani said on Friday, 19th of April, Washington's move disclosed the hypocritical nature of the U.S. foreign policy and the isolation of this country's position within the international community more than ever before. The vote at the 15-member United Nations Security Council on Thursday, 18th of April, on the statehood of Palestine was put forward by Algeria, which represents Arab nations under UN Security Council. Nasser Kanani said, the U.S. provides unilateral and unlimited support for Israel in the political, economic, military, legal, and international fields. He added, Washington's ineffective support for the Tel Aviv regime is at the expense of the American people and at the cost of sacrificing regional and international peace and security over the past seven decades. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson emphasized the U.S. support for the Israeli regime has disgraced it on the world stage and proved that the country is not a neutral player and a responsible actor in the international community. Kanani once again reaffirmed the Palestinian people's legitimate and undeniable right to form an independent state with the city of Al-Quds as its capital across the historical land of Palestine from the river to the sea. Nasser Kanani pointed out, the Islamic Republic of Iran believes that the will of the resilient and heroic people of Palestine will ultimately overcome the will of the enemies of the Palestinian people, especially the fake apartheid Israeli regime. The website of Syria Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. Syria has condemned the United States after it vetoed the resolution backing full United Nations membership for Palestine. The Syrian Foreign Ministry, also in a statement on Friday, 19th of April, condemned the U.S. veto, saying it showed Washington's blind bias in favor of the Israeli regime. The Syrian Foreign Ministry stressed that hindering the establishment of an independent and sovereign Palestinian state would only prolong insecurity and instability in West Asia region. It said insecurity originally arose from Israel's ongoing occupation of Arab lands and its perpetration of the most crimes of aggression against the Palestinian people. The United States was the only nation in the 15-member UN Security Council to veto against the resolution on Thursday, 18th of April. The U.S. action has drawn condemnation from many countries, especially Muslim world. The U.S. action has drawn condemnation from many countries, especially from within the Islamic world. Washington's veto came amid the Israeli regime's war on the Gaza Strip that has increased sympathy towards Palestinians and international calls for recognition of an independent Palestinian state. Since the start of Israel's offensive on Gaza on 7th of October, Israel has massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians, many of them women and children. The English website of Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, has slammed the United States for blocking Palestine's request for full membership in the United Nations amid a genocidal Israeli war on Gaza. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, said in a statement on Friday, 19th of April, "The Organization of Islamic Cooperation expresses its deep regret at the failure of the United Nations Security Council to shoulder its responsibilities for granting the State of Palestine full membership at the United Nations, while the Palestinian nation are being subjected to the harshest level of aggression, persecution, and genocide." According to the statement, the United States' veto of the draft resolution, which recommended granting Palestine full United Nations membership on Thursday, 18th of April, violates the provisions of the United Nations Charter, which allows membership for all countries that accept the obligations contained in it. The OIC stressed that the U.S. move prevents the Palestinian people from obtaining their legitimate rights and contributes to prolonging the historical oppression imposed on the Palestinians for the past 75 years. Stressing the legitimate right of Palestine to embody its political and legal status in the United Nations, the organization said the recognition of the State of Palestine contributes to achieving peace and stability globally. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, praised the countries that voted in favor of the draft resolution, saying their position demonstrates their support for truth, justice, freedom, and peace, and their rejection of policies of the Israeli regime.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of
Youth Station.
I am Beta.
And this is Mustafa.
Brothers, you know, we're living in a world that everybody is like, okay, I do care about myself. And whenever I don't have any problem, I have nothing to do with other people's problems. Okay, so we are living in a world like that. And at the same time, when we go through the Islamic teachings, we see that you have to be the voice of the oppressed people. And even we have so many narrations and verses in the Holy Quran, and this narration from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, that you have to be the voice of the oppressed people, and if you're not, you're not a member of our ummah. And so it means that this is one of your absolute responsibility, to be the voice of people who are in need. But unfortunately, this is something which is being ignored and being indifferent towards, unfortunately. So what can we do about it?
Yeah, I think, by the way, a big part of it is, you know, and you'll hear this maybe in English, is that collectivism or individualism.
Yeah.
Right? When we talk about different cultures, for example, typically when we talk about Western culture, they focus a lot in individuality, which means that the individual should be successful. The individual, you know, should be independent. For example, you see that, in many Western societies, when you turn 18, you're expected to leave the house.
Yeah.
You're expected to, like, have a job. You're expected to do everything on your own. If you don't, then you're considered a failure. On the opposite side, we have collectivism, like you said, you know, and that's something that's strong among Eastern cultures, not only Islamic. Like, if you go to India or China, a lot of these people are considered, you know, a lot of these considered collectivism.
Yeah.
And the idea behind that is that you work together. you know, that you help each other. If somebody's down, you help them, you know. In fact, in Pakistan, if you said you want to leave the house at 18, you're going to get slapped, you know, for your dad.
Yeah, it's like the complete opposite. Too.
So there's this sort of now mixture of these two right now, right, where we're seeing that people are becoming, I would say individualism creates selfishness, right,
yeah.
Where people only care about themselves. And that's not good. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, actually, it's a vicious cycle. Selfishness will lead to individualism itself strengthen this attribute of selfishness in people. And another thing is that because of the impact of Western countries and Western culture on Eastern society and Muslim countries, our youth generation is like, I want to be independent. I want to go out of the home sooner than what I want. And, you know, they're like, I don't want to have children. Because there are burdens and something like that, you know, they are destroying the meaning and value of family. And I believe it is equal to individualism itself.
There's papers specifically written about how, for example, one of the, by the way, agendas that's out there is reducing world population. They say there's too many people, you know, in the world. The world can't, there aren't enough resources, for example, in the world. So the world's population needs to be reduced. So a big part of that is breaking down the family. And the way you break down the family is you promote individualism and selfishness, right?
Yeah.
That you really only care about yourself. And we're seeing the negative effects of that right now, right? We're seeing it in our own families, I would say. We're seeing, like, when people do those kind of selfish things, we're seeing, for example, divorces are increasing. We're seeing problem with having much more mental disorders. We're seeing so many other issues. That's because of this.
I agree with that. Yeah. Brother, there is another dimension to this topic that, for example, if we want to change the world, we have to start this change from ourselves.
Hmm.
I mean, sometimes people and individuals, specifically a generation, thinks like that, okay, I have to change myself first. I cannot change the world ambitiously.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it? But let's have your idea after a short break. Stay tuned, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. This is Youth Station, where we're talking about individualism and collectivism. And we get to this point that some people justify and defend their individualism with this excuse that, okay, I have to first change myself. I cannot help other people if I don't have this resource to do that.
Well, it depends, right? I think sometimes that may be correct in the sense there is. I'm not saying it's completely negative, like individualism. There are positive aspects to it. And of course, you have to care about yourself, your own health. I don't know. You know, when you sit on a plane, they tell you, for example, if there's a lack of oxygen, you need to wear that first.
Yeah.
And then you put it on the child, right? Because if you don't do it yourself first, you're not going to be able to help the child either, right? You're going to faint. So there, nobody's denying that, you know, that you don't care about yourself or that you only care about others. I think it's having a right balance between the two.
Yeah.
If you do, you should care about yourself. You should take care of yourself, but it's in a positive manner, right?
Exactly.
You shouldn't be doing it at the expense of others
in a selfish way.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that for your own, like, benefit, like, for your own sake, somebody else is being harmed. That's what we're saying. When we're talking about being selfish, it's like we're doing things at the expense of others. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to cause... And by the way, one of the harms of being selfish individualism in the long run is that it causes you harm.
Yeah.
Right? Because...
How come?
Like, think about it. If you're living in a society where people only care about themselves, when you need help... Is there someone going to be there for you?
No, for sure. You have only yourself.
And that's what you see in a, you know, I was watching this interview of this guy in America who became homeless, right? And he said that, you know, nobody's helping me. My own family's not helping me. And now he's homeless.
Yeah.
Right? So is that, that's what I'm saying. It can go to a very extreme form. And we need a balance between those
exactly. two. Exactly. You know, I saw the same documentary. I think it was about homeless people.
There's so many, by the way, out there.
Yeah. And they were so sad, all of them, because they don't have a family to come back to. And it's like you're cutting your blood line. And You don't have anyone in this world. And even in some countries, we have some institutions for lonely people. Because one of the consequences of this individualism is that you will end up alone. Okay, yeah. You don't have anyone to rely on. You don't have any friends. You don't have anyone to rely on whenever you're in trouble. And these are the problems. And human beings are social beings. We cannot cut our connection with other people. It's impossible, I believe. I believe every human being needs solitude sometimes. You have to be alone. You have to think on your life, on your process, what you did up to here, what you were going to do from now on. And these are the points, but it doesn't mean that you have to be selfish. You have to put yourself as the priority in the expense of others. Right. And I believe at our times that we have to remember the meaning of sacrifice and the meaning of martyrdom. Martyrdom is the most beautiful and complete example of sacrifice. Right. And in order to not be deviated to the road of individualism, we have to search throughout the history and see the sacrifices that made for us to be here, to right. live in peace.
Yep. And, you know, I have a friend who lives in France, you know.
Yeah.
I met him when I was living in the United States. And he lives by himself, okay. He hasn't managed to get married. And then he suffered through a lot of depression. He tried to kill himself twice, okay.
Oh, my God.
Now he's doing much better because he's, you know, he's gotten help and things.
Thank you.
But it's a common problem in those societies, you know, yeah. that they're not able to get married. They don't have their his parents are there. He has sisters, you know, but they're not able to rely on each other, right?
Yeah.
So the harm, I think, is very, very apparent of, like, you know, only caring about yourself. You know, it's going to hurt you, like I said, in the long run. A human being is like, we're created in a way where we need each other.
Exactly. Right?
Or another example I can give is if you look at Japanese society, it's probably one of the like most lonely people in those societies, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that in Japan, like, you can pay someone to be your friend?
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's a job. Like,
that's so sad.
That's a job that's available that, you know, that I could be hired just to talk to someone. Like, they literally pay people just so they can talk to them.
Yeah.
Or accompany them, for example, for dinner or something. That's, what kind of society is that? Is that what we want?
No.
Is that what you want? Like, I mean, I wouldn't mind getting paid to talk to someone, but, you know, on the other hand, it's you know what I'm trying to say. That it's bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. And I believe we have to rebuild these meanings and these values of our life. For example, about friends, I believe that this generation have this problem because we think when we're alone, we are more successful, we are more productive, but this is not true. I believe every educational system should focus on this group work, teamwork. Teamwork is really important to show the people that you need each other in order to be productive, in order to develop.
And by the teamwork that you mentioned, by the way, so in the same societies that promote individualism, you'll find that teamwork is also being emphasized. But where is it being emphasized? In businesses. Okay.
Oh.
Why? Because they realize that by teamwork, you can, you know, if people work better, they're more productive, they produce more, and therefore they produce more profit for that company.
Yeah, exactly.
So you see that even in those societies that they realize the need to do teamwork. Right? Yeah. I remember when I used to do like job interviews, one of the questions they would ask is, how much experience do you have with teamwork? What do you think of teamwork? You know, what kind of
nice.
Examples? So we're saying what we're saying is we need to broaden this teamwork in the rest of society, in all aspects of society.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And of course, the result will be positive of that. Of course, if we work together, things will be better. That's the whole, that's how societies are formed. So it's only logical.
It is.
Right?
And the logical thing is that we have to go for a short break.
Okay, got it.
were talking about the effective teamwork, and that even in the most individualistic countries like Japan, like some Western countries, even at those countries, we have this teamwork, specifically in business content, that we need to be productive. And it shows that even if we try to deny the fact that we need each other, we need each other.
By the way, I think one source of like sort of some individualism comes in when we want to go after our desires, right?
Right.
Right? Because a lot of times that's when like other people come in the way, is that I would say, hey, I want to smoke, I want to drink, I want to like, you know, have relationships. And now like, you know, my family's coming in the way.
Exactly.
Right? So we have realized that individualism is really an excuse many times to pursue your own selfish, low desires,
yeah.
Right? And then that can, by the way, result in a terrible sort of... But the friend that I mentioned, you know, right before the break,
yeah,
right? He's a good example of that. He pursued every pleasure that you can imagine when he was young. And now he's in a situation where he was almost suicidal. He's alone and he's lonely, right? I would tell the youth that, look, do you want to live a lonely life, you know? Is that what you want? You know, do you want to have just superficial relationships or just temporary pleasures? And then once you're older, what's going to happen?
Exactly.
You know, who's going to be there for you when you're older? Are those friends that you have right now, are they going to be there for you? They're not going to be there for you. So just, you know, having family, having people around you is going to be a big source of happiness, a big source of help for you. You know, it's going to make your life better. Like, I can't emphasize that enough.
And I believe that living in this materialistic world, that most of the people believe that you are a materialistic creature. You have to keep that in mind. You are spiritual, but you have a materialistic dimension. And in order to feed that materialistic dimension, don't sacrifice your spiritual part.
Individuality can be important when you're establishing your relationship with God. That's where you should place value on it.
Yeah.
In your personal worship with God, you know, in your personal obligations towards God, those will impact the rest of, like, you know, people around you as well.
Exactly.
That's where it's important. And I guess we're out of time, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're out of time. There is a lot to talk about this topic. But thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. I wish it was helpful for you. And wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings, be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.